Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers 1,400 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month, and for our audience, the first 2 months are completely free if you sign up at CuriosityStream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT. And by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/allaboutandroid. And by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 262, recorded on April 19th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Florence Ion.
And with us this week, since Jason is out, we've got a fill-in. We've got our good friend Mark Bursteiner joining us.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, guys. Glad I could be here.
Back by popular demand while Jason is living it up in Vegas, doing the NAB thing. We figured we'd get an injection of Mark energy.
Yeah.
Are you guys tired? Because I'm going to wake y'all up.
Yeah, I am actually a little, I suggested that you come back on today because I was like, I'm a little tired today. I need some espresso in the form of a person.
That's perfect.
So I decided to bring you on.
Perfect. Very caliente. I like
it. Yes. So before we get started, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
It's coming.
We have a little bit of breaking news. As our good friend Kara is filling in for Brian, and there she is. There's the breaking news to Flo. Do you want to update the folks?
Yes.
This is a little. This is a little narcissistic.
This
I'll
is
be
extremely
honest.
Extremely narcissistic.
This is a little inside.
It's extremely. Anyway, go ahead. But today, Google told me that a good friend of mine shares a birthday with me, and he's sitting right here next to me. His name's Ron Richards.
Through some bizarre fate Flo, we are born on the same day, which is very weird.
Very weird. Different years, so we have different zodiac signs coming
as
in.
As we've well documented over the show. So there you go. There's your little tidbit of All About Android host trivia that we share the same birthday, and it's coming up in a couple weeks.
It is coming up.
So start your shopping now. That out of the way, this week we're going to be talking about some great stuff. We're going to dive into the Android N Preview 2. We're going to look at some Google app updates. And somebody got a Nexus Robin finally. I'll let you figure out who. All that coming up, but first up is the news.
While Brian's away, Kara will play. It's Android News.
Wow, that had a little spooky element to it.
Things are interesting already.
As we mentioned, Brian is also away, and so Kara is behind the ones and twos helping us out this week. So we're gonna try to be gentle on
zeros and ones.
Zeros and ones.
Well, ones and twos. Yeah, I know. But
anyway, so all right. So starting things up, the second preview for Android N came out to developers last week. It's chock full of updates and some interesting stuff. Some of the highlights of what it includes is, let's see, we got here. It includes Vulkan, which is the new 3D rendering API, which they developed as part of the Kronos project, geared at providing low overhead GPU control to developers and offers a significant boost in performance for draw call heavy applications. So, as you know, apps are getting better graphics, they're going to tap into Vulkan to help drive that. They've also added launcher shortcuts, where apps can define shortcuts that allow users to expose in the launcher to help them perform actions quicker. These shortcuts contain an intent into specific points within an app, example like sending a message to your friend, navigating home from a mapping app, or playing the next episode of a TV show in a media app. Those are the examples Google gave in their blog post. And probably the most important update in the latest, in the second Android N preview for developers, is the Emoji Unicode 9 support. As Google says, quote, "We are introducing a new emoji design for people for people emoji that moves away from our generic look in favor of more human
They're
looking
designs. They're not
blobs
anymore, y'all. They're actual people.
Yeah.
Emoji is people.
Yes. So, Mark, did you get a chance to dive into this at all? Are you running any phones running it? Or?
I am. I don't know where my Nexus, where my 6P is.
It sprouted legs and walked away. It knew you. It didn't want to be on the show today. It's a little shy.
Too many phones. But
Phones.
A couple things. Last time I saw you guys, I was not yet able to tell you that I'm actually at Android Police now. So
awesome.
I'm David Ruddick, Ryan.
I knew that. I knew that already.
I know you guys had it. I know you guys know, but the viewers, you might not know. That's where I am now. And we actually wrote up something because we got really excited that our internal back chat blew up when the emoji conversation started happening. There were a lot of people with sore butts, let me tell you. But we actually wrote up, this is the first time Android is ahead of iOS in terms of which emojis we get, where that we got Unicode 9.0 first. This is historic.
Now, here's my question, though. Is Emoji 9 support more important than a new graphics processing engine?
Right. Okay, but emoji support is what consumers will see first before the Vulkan API.
Right.
I'm just saying, what if you make something with the Vulkan API in a language you don't understand? Unicode, if you only had emojis.
You can just send emoji messages to people to tell them you love them. You can't do that with a Vulkan API.
No, if I sent someone who didn't speak English a heart popping out of my head.
They would know that you were thinking, I'm in love with you. I see hearts when I look at you.
Either that or I'm very sick.
The preview update also includes important API changes that refine features such as multi-window support and notifications as well as others. Is that more important or emojis more important than that? I don't know. I feel like we drop everything and drool over emojis when actual significant changes to underneath the hood are happening with Android.
Nah, man. I like the front-facing emoji. I'm so sick of my iOS peeps making fun of me because the hair flip emoji, which is not an actual emoji, it's actually the information desk person. But on Android, it doesn't look like a person flipping her hair like it does on iOS. It doesn't translate it as well. Just so sick of it. I just want to be like everybody else sometimes.
I gotta use my other hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's iOS though. When you do it on Android, it's just like this blob of a woman with like a little hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong, Ron. There's a lot more stuff going on than just that. I've been diving pretty deep. I'm actually probably going to do a video soon of just like all the things coming in N. But
shameless plug.
I didn't say where.
This is fair.
It's not a plug if nobody's.
It's like, true.
Look, I'm going to make a video and I'm going to air it in my backyard. You're all invited.
Oh, that sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, I don't have a yard, though, so that's going to be inconvenient. But there's a lot of stuff happening under the hood with N, but people don't necessarily understand that stuff. I mean, I guess is it our job, Ron? It's our job, isn't it?
Well, it's very developer centric. Of course, this preview is aimed at developers to work with their applications to see how it's going to work on the new version. So when the new version does roll out, everything works correctly.
Yeah, and
that doesn't stop you from downloading it and putting it on a device. I mean, if you go to the Google, the whole thing, they give you instructions on how to install it. I mean, you're taking that own risk and it might brick your phone or there might be a problem or something like that. So be careful. But I think it's important to know that with these developments, like the first preview release didn't have Vulkan. And so I'm curious to see what the response to Vulkan is going to be and what we're going to see coming out of that.
I agree. I just don't think there was that big. Like, I know Samsung made a big splash about it with the S7. And I know that this is something that other OEMs are going to catch on with the Vulkan API. I believe that the G5 has compatibility for it. I remember reading. Yeah. It wasn't like explicitly said, but and also anyway, aren't there like no games that really take advantage of it yet? So it's kind of hard to have it be
a chicken and the egg. It's a chicken and the egg kind of thing. Now they have access to it, and so now but those aren't the only things that were in there. Actually, our buddy Ron Amadeo over at Ars Technica dove in, and of course he finds things in the code like he always does, and he actually found a couple of references to virtual reality buried in the code. Specifically, apps will be able to register themselves as something called a VR listener or a VR helper. And all the details are in his article over on Ars Technica. Mark, where you stand on VR? Are you bullish or you think it's overrated?
I'm still very bullish on VR. I have a Gear VR, and I had my parents over a couple of weeks ago. I saw, like, my dad, who, like, I grew up watching my dad watch shows like these. So for someone like him to put on a VR headset and experience that, he watched a couple of things in Verse and, like, got to, like, peek out of buildings in New York. You know, it's a phenomenal experience, but practicality is one of the big things that I get stuck up on. And we talk about this a lot in the back chat as well. What is VR going to look like when it comes to menial tasks, right? So we're in our VR and I need to check a thing on my phone, whether my phone's still in my pocket or actually operating as the screen, as in the Gear, doesn't really matter. There's a problem now. Now I need to check my phone and do a thing. That's where these APIs come in, right? Yeah. So just like when you're using the Gear VR and you get a little notification from an email, someone had to bake that into the experience. Samsung did. With these new endpoints, developers are going to be able to just tie in the experience and make it even more seamless so that while you're in VR, maybe you get a notification pop up right here, you know, over the side, and you can look at it and then respond with voice to text, something like that. So I think it's awesome. I'm excited.
So if we're betting, and Flo, if you're going to put $20 right now, how big is VR going to be at Google I/O?
I think it's going to be like a major chunk of it.
All right. So we're
that and self-driving cars. And you, picnics.
You and the self.
I just imagine we're all going to be walking in, and they're going to be like, "Enjoy the lawn at the shoreline. Would you like to have a picnic?" And I'd be like, "Yes, please." I love picnics.
I always want to have picnics. Yeah. But yeah, I think if VR is going to take off, it's going to happen in the next 2 years. I don't think it's or it's not enough has happened to say yes or no definitively, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm still very, very hopeful. I'm not buying any of the headsets yet. This is one of the things that I'd normally early adopt as early as possible. This is one of the things I'm staying away from. It's too much of an investment.
I'm allowing my good friend Jeff Cannata to weed out the platforms, as he seems to be very, very the most bullish person on VR.
Not gonna lie, I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm just waiting for Jeff to be like, okay, this is the one that I'm like really seriously in love with, and that's the one I'll buckle down.
Whichever one he anoints, I'll get behind. So yeah.
Yep. I'm okay. I trust him.
So finally, the last little bit of the Android and Dev Preview 2, a little front-facing action for you there, Flo. We got a couple of changes to icons in the Google Now launcher, specifically to folders. And Cara, if we could actually pull up the article, it's got a graphic here. You can see now folders change the way they show the icons that contain within them. And Flo is hissing, so you don't like?
No, it was a heavy sigh. Oh. No, I don't like.
Okay.
You don't like this?
I don't like it.
Why not?
You don't like this
I do not like the stacked icons as they currently exist. I think this is fine. Like, it's a little window into the folder.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's got to be some better way to do it. You know what? I'm going to see this as the beginning of something better.
Okay.
You know?
I'm not sure that it's the right move either. I like to use the big changes that come out. Mostly just to make sure that I feel confident in my opinion on them.
But you can see the icons in the folder, which is nice, because you can't really see. You can only see the front icon, like whatever is at the very top, which is super annoying. Yeah. So that's kind of nice, because you remember what's in the folder. But I don't know if I like the actual design of it. It's just kind of making me feel a little weird.
So, you know, this might be the wrong place to mention it, but I mentioned this on the podcast this past week. If on iOS, when you have the folders, you're looking into it, and it's got the little grid in there. Every few seconds, it swipes past and goes, here's more apps that are actually inside this folder so you can see what's in there. If that were something similar like this, if they behind the scenes generated a never-ending, you know, kind of tapestry of the app icon so that you could just zap to different places so you can always see a little glimpse of what's inside there, I think that would be really, really cool. But that seems like a little overkill for me.
Well, baby steps. This is preview 2. Maybe in preview 3 you'll get a little more refinement on this.
So. We've got four more previews to go, y'all. They said 6 by Google I/O, so we got 4 more to go.
Mark, you're test driving it. Is it stable? Is it what's working? What isn't working for you?
Preview 2 has been much better. Preview 1 was bad, outright bad.
Well, it was an alpha of sorts,
obviously.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, listeners, viewers, do not go install it on your phone if it's your only one.
Yep,
I used to do it all the time. A Nexus 5, like Nexus 5 running like old Lollipop just was like really, really buggy. Don't do it unless you have another phone. That said, my Nexus 6P is totally fine to like be the only phone that I take out of the house. if that's helpful. There's nothing debilitatingly broken in it. Like if you remember when Lollipop was in this stage, like the Maps API was just like beyond broken.
They highlighted in their blog post about this release that actually they fixed a lot of bugs, and many of them were directly from the community submitting into the bug tracker and encouraged developers. So if we have any developers who are listening who are testing Android N Preview 2, Google wants you to keep on submitting those bugs because apparently they're jumping right on them. They're very serious about it.
They're very, very serious. So serious, in fact, that they went out of their way to make sure to fix the bug that makes it really difficult to type names such as Kesha, because typing a dollar sign and then hitting space would actually enter a line break. So it would cause ke, dollar sign, line break, ha. But that's no longer the case. You can type Kesha in Preview 2, no problem.
I'm holding my head in my hands.
Moving on to other amazing women. Former DARPA director Regina Dugan has said bye 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 to Google's ATAP and said hello, hello, hello to Facebook's hardware division.
Oh, not Justin Timberlake.
No, not Justin Timberlake, unfortunately. The Google exec who brought you such great movies such as Project Aura, Project Jacquard, which is the livable denim or
livable denim. I want to sign me up.
I'm sorry, the conductive denim. I'm sorry, I completely had a word. I was going too much into that.
I would like to develop some livable denim.
I know, right? Because denim is just not comfortable as it is. Like I hate these jeans on right now. So anyway, the one who brought you Project Aura, Project Tango, and Project Jacquard, she has left for Facebook's Building 8. And if you're wondering what the heck that means, well, it's a building on the Menlo Park campus where Facebook is headquartered here in the Bay Area, where interesting hardware things happen. So you might be wondering, why is this important? Well, Facebook poached one of Google's like main hardware, like, amazing people, and this is kind of a bummer.
Everything I've read about this is people have been like, wow, good get for Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard the news, I was just like, holy crap, I gotta write this up. This is insane. Like, this is not... I'm very curious about who Google will replace, if they will replace.
So what does this mean for Project Aura, a project that is very close to my heart?
I don't think... I mean, Project Aura has another... gosh, I forgot his name. They have another head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Aura
she was the lead of ATAP.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Advanced.
And there was somebody running Aura.
Aura. So that's not a worry. I think it's just going to be her role was sort of, you know, helping people like think outside of the box and bringing ideas to fruition and then hiring the people to oversee those ideas. And that's like a really important role. And those are very hard shoes to fill. So I'm curious who Google's going to put in that role, if they're going to put anyone in there.
But I think what's interesting about the ATAP division is that it's a lot of theoretical stuff, which I think is important. But like,
not all theoretical, though, because remember they do have like samples and...
Well, no, yeah, exactly. But no consumer products have come out of it.
No.
So,
none.
Although Project Tango is coming out this summer for consumers, so... Yeah. Which I guess would be one of the first consumer products to come out of ATAP.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I think it is.
So that's good. If that's successful, I want to see somebody who's in role, you know, to help bring more projects that... Yes, sorry.
My fear is that we're going to find ourselves in a situation where Google can't make their own hardware for more time, basically. The entire ATAP team... Their expertise, a lot of it is in hardware, and I think that's where a lot of their brain power comes from with things like the Pixel C. I want to see Google making more hardware year over year. I want to see them making more hardware every year. I'm going to keep saying this. This should be the year of the Nexus Pixel. This should be the year that Google takes over manufacturing their own devices. We've heard a lot of things about HTC doing so. Or at least for this year. So that's where I get concerned. ATAP is going to be fine overall. You know, people are the most important thing there. But I get most scared when you start to talk about Google building their own products. Because that's something they can mess up really, really badly. They really only have one shot.
Yeah. Well, I also want to add that for me, seeing Regina on stage in a sea of a lot of male executives, especially being as high as she was and overseeing ATAP, was phenomenal. It was great to see a woman in that role and to see her like leading this huge team of, you know, dreamers and makers. And that's why I like going to Google Developers conferences, because I get to see those kind of people like introduce things. So,
right, but that said, I mean,
used to hoping that,
last you know. IO had a lot of women in, on
stage.
I mean, like,
no,
she wasn't the only.
Not...
Like, let's make it like this is the only person.
No. That's not what I mean. But I just say, in the grand scheme of things, it was just really great to have her be the head. But now she's at Facebook, so it doesn't even matter, because we'll see her at Facebook, and I know that Facebook's gonna her skills to good use.
Yeah. So I think Facebook is like, I mean, Facebook is already a massive giant, but I feel like pieces are being maneuvered where they're kind of like this dark horse in the distance that I think is going to be really, really impactful.
I'm not ignoring them anymore.
In like a year or two.
Yeah, I'm not ignoring them anymore.
And that's assuming that, and like Mark said about Google with their hardware, I mean, they have one shot at it, and they're taking it with Oculus, which has been a bumpy road up to this point. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do here. Mm-hmm. So
Facebook is a force to be reckoned with. I'll give them that much.
Yeah. It's almost become, I mean, and it's funny, because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and we were saying how Facebook has simultaneously become a application layer on top of the internet that we just all kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but then it's also, to be honest, it's achieved the dream that AOL dreamt in 1996.
That's true. I use it to make restaurant reservations. Yeah. I use it to like find, you know, hire people to do odd jobs. Like I use it for lots of community.
You're using Facebook in much different ways than I am.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, but it really.
Planning parties.
It really has. I mean, so it's interesting to see them make this kind of hiring move and what it can come from it. Time will tell. All right. Finally, a little touch on security, as Google's Android security report for 2015 was released, and Google continues to make security and protecting users a top priority. Some of the highlights from the report this year was that the company now scans around 400 million devices and 6 billion installed apps.
Billion.
Wow. So think about that. Data collection. And so these are a couple of highlights of what they found in 2015 in terms of behavior within apps and looking out for malware. Data collection, which is apps collecting data whether you want to or not, decreased over 40% to 0.08% of installs. Spyware decreased 60% to 0.02% of installs. And hostile downloaders decreased 50% to 0.01% of installs.
Look at that number, 50 to 0.01.
Yeah. So, so it looks like a lot of the work that they've been doing in terms of the monthly updates and, you know, jumping on apps when they detect that they are malware and take them out of the app store seems to be working. So do we feel safer? Do you feel safer installing apps?
Absolutely. I started feeling safer last year when they announced they were going to do the monthly security updates. Seeing it come into play, and like every month I get my update and I'm like, oh, I have to update my phone tonight. You know, but at the same time, my phone's being protected.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be easier soon too.
Yeah. It was just really important for Google to do that, because they were getting a really bad rep. And like every time an Apple exec would go on stage at their keynotes, he'd be like, do you guys know how insecure Android is? It's so scary. What a scary world to be in. And Google's like, yo, you got to stop doing that. We're going to change this narrative. So we're going to actually do something about it, which I think is great. Like, thank you. That's what a company is supposed to do.
It is good. And I think it sets a really good precedent. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to force Apple to start doing something similar if they aren't already. Plus, as of Android N, that's another really big thing, because we're actually switching to a just-in-time compiler as of Android N, which means that updates are going to be so much faster. And or not just your phone updates, but app updates. And then when your phone gets updated, that's also going to be much faster too. Your optimizing app step basically goes away.
Yeah.
Which means it goes from like a half an hour long process to like an 8 minute long
optimizing
process.
Optimizing app 37 of 329.
Oh, that drives me crazy. I hate that.
Yeah. That is going to be basically gone thanks to the new compiling method.
And the only thing is, though, we're still going to have, you know, it's great to see that my Galaxy phones are on the same security patch, but Lord knows when they're getting marshmallow.
Yep.
Lord knows.
Lord knows.
Lord knows.
That was intense eye contact. Wow. You just seriously locked eyes with the viewer there. Nicely done.
Yep. All right. Well, let's lock eyes with our viewers and thank our first sponsor. We want to thank CuriosityStream for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, CuriosityStream is awesome. They are the world's first ad-free nonfiction streaming service. It's actually founded by John Hendricks, the founder of Discovery Communications. And what CuriosityStream gives you is over 1,400 titles and 600 hours of content that's available in 196 countries worldwide. It's available on so many platforms. They've got a web app. It's available on Roku, Android, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Amazon Kindle, as well as Apple TV and iOS, if that's your thing. They've got a wide variety of science and technology content, plus nature, history, and many more topics. Over 50-plus hours of 4K content, which they just recently launched. So if you've got a 4K TV, this is the place you want to go to show it off. It's one of the largest 4K libraries on the internet. And in addition to the documentaries, they also have interviews and lectures. Their library includes a ton of great stuff. So some highlights are Stephen Hawking's Universe, a series where Stephen Hawking traces the history of the astronomical theories and technology. They've got The Human Face of Big Data, currently exclusively on CuriosityStream. And The Road to the Singularity, where Jason Silva and other experts explore the inevitable arrival of superhuman intelligence in the CuriosityStream original documentary. A good friend of mine's little son will only watch documentaries. So I sent him a link to CuriosityStream, and he was like, thank you. This will eat up hours of him watching and learning. I was checking out some of the content earlier today, and it just looks really like it's like the video quality looks awesome. The content quality is stuff that I'm really interested in. Their content ranges from science and technology to art, just some really great topics. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I already bookmarked myself that I'm going to watch via my Chromecast. So CuriosityStream has got me. They've got monthly and annual plans available. The plans start at just $2.99 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee or the cost of one title on another on-demand platform. So check out curiositystream.com/twit and be sure to use the promo code TWIT during sign-up to get unlimited access to the world's top documentaries and nonfiction series completely free for the first 60 days. That's two entire months free of one of the largest 4K libraries around. Just go to curiositystream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT at sign-up. And we thank them for their support. All right, let's dive into hardware. All right. You're doing great, Karen. You're doing great. All right, so to kick things off with the hardware, we probably should give the latest update in our soap opera of what phone is Ron using.
I was going to say.
Ta-da!
Yay!
It exists. The next bit, yay. Robin. After a wonderful adventure with the post office and some disappointing news and some savior coming to save the day, I was able to get my hands on Nextbit Robin. I picked it up about a little over a week and a half ago. I've been using it nonstop since then. I used it on a trip to L.A., on a trip to Florida.
Your pictures were nice. Your Snapchats were great. They're very on point.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. So I know it's been reviewed. In fact, you reviewed it and... And Mark, I'm sure you reviewed it as well, too.
I liked it. Oh, it's my favorite phone for $300.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, hands down.
I forgot how much it is.
It's four.
Okay, it's one of my favorite phones for $400.
So I wanted to share some of my thoughts. First off, overall, I just give it a thumbs up. I love it. I can't tell you the number of times I've had random people come up to me and go, what is that? Which is exactly what I wanted because of the design aspect. And I wanted to tell them it's a new company, it's a hardware startup, et cetera, et cetera. So it's definitely very noticeable. I love the fingerprint sensor power button. That's great. That works wonderful. The camera, I think, is an upgrade over my Nexus 5. Mm-hmm. I think my photos have looked better. I'm sure that, you know.
And they said they're working on it,
Everyone on Google Plus is very critical of my photos, and I got a couple of compliments. Although I posted one picture from Disney World that was the wrong, Google Plus over-optimized it.
Hate it when it does that. Sorry, yeah. Google Plus. I don't like it.
I've left the Nextbit launcher because I want to give that a full, I want to give a full thing. Here we get into my complaints. I'm probably going to go back to the Google Now launcher.
Okay.
I hate the double finger swipe to get to your widgets.
Yeah.
So bad.
And you're a widget dude.
I'm a widget dude. Yeah. I'm a widget dude. I use my power widget. I use my Pocket Cast. I got my MLB app. I got my weather. In fact, my one-click button to the New York Mets section of the MLB at Bat app is technically a shortcut. But it appears in the widgets.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and so if you're like on BART, you can't pinch to get to the widgets. You want to just use your thumb.
Right.
You know?
This is a bigger conversation, though, isn't it? Like,
we've had this conversation so many times.
I've had it. Everybody's had it. I still think it's a really bad precedent to set to kind of cater to switchers, to iOS users who, you know, are used to that. But I don't blame you in the least, Ron. I would throw a launcher on that thing.
Yeah, that's my plan. But I wanted to give it a good week before I threw it out. You know, before I kind of, you know, not that I threw it out, but before I said I wouldn't use it or whatnot. But that said, all in all, like my complaints are very minor. The LED light is at the bottom,
yeah,
which is incredibly inefficient for me because it made me realize how much I depend on that LED light during, like, when the phone's on the desk. And when I see that glowing, oh, I have a message.
Boop, boop. You know, look at that. I have a missed call.
Yeah, which is, we're here. I just never see it. So,
it's also not RGB.
Yes, yeah.
It's only white.
It's just one. Yeah, exactly. But the other than that, I'm in love with the, I mean, this is good without saying, but fast charging has changed my life. Like, I don't have to worry about charging my phone anymore. It's just, boom, it's charged.
Oh, my phone's dying. I have to leave in 10 minutes.
Yeah. But no all problem. In all, it's great. I mean, I actually haven't filled it up with stuff yet. So I haven't been able to use the smart archiving, the cloud stuff yet, but, that's cool when it happens. But, but yeah, so all in all, I'm happy with the upgrade.
I think it looks really good on you too. Oh, like, yeah? I think it just looks good with you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you,
it does.
You only got it in like a day or two ago?
No, I got it about a week ago. So okay. I got it 2 weekends ago.
It's already been to Disney World.
Yeah, it's already been to Disney World.
Let me know if you find yourself doing the same thing that I was doing when I was reviewing it, because the only other phone to make me do that, at least in the last six to 8 months, is the S7 Edge. And this thing feels amazing. I think you guys know that. So I would just reach out to pick up the Robin just to hold it in my hand. That's how good it feels.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's an awesome device.
Beautifully built.
It's light. It feels good in my pocket. It's not too big. It's bigger than my Nexus 5, but like I said, it's not too big. Someone in the chat room asked how the sound quality is of the phone. It's great, actually. It's much louder than my Nexus 5. Like
speakers are bomb.
Speakers are great. I never used the front-facing camera on the Nexus 5 because it was just so bad, and now I've been using it. I've been partially to take
selfies. To,
well, when you're at Disney, there's a lot of selfie opportunities.
Absolutely.
But yeah. All in all, I got to give it a thumbs up. Like I said, my critiques are just really it's like the LED button and the launcher.
Those are very minor things.
Very minor
and
things.
And the phone looks so different than any other phone on the market right now. And
yeah.
You know,
this is just easily the most exciting device that came out.
I agree. I still think
it's really funny because the CEO of the company I work for is an industrial designer by training. Mm-hmm. And the first day I was in the office at this, I pulled it out and he's like, "What is that?" And like I showed it to him and he marveled over the buttons. He's like,
beautiful.
He's so cute. Look at those buttons.
They're like little caddying buttons.
But not they're like little chiclets, but they're also they fit in really well and they click really well. Like they did a great job on it. So
They really did.
Look at us gushing over the Robin.
I love it. So next
week. They murdered it. They murdered it on the build. The hardware just
murder
feels
means a good thing for anybody who doesn't know.
They killed it. I would just like to see some in the next rev. I would like the LED light. Just that's like I said, I realized how much I needed it. Or how much I depended on it, you know, and just, you know, and the challenge is just that the launcher is just so, you know, like Google Now is just so much more of a fleshed out launcher, you know.
But, who knows what it'll look like in the future.
Yeah, exactly. So,
speaking of the future, we've got a lot of competition coming up in the realm of virtual reality because, of course, Huawei had to announce that it, too, is making its foray into virtual reality with its own headset, which, by the way, looks very similar to one that's already on the market made by Samsung. Samsung. Yes, yes. So this is the Huawei VR. It's got the, in terms of specs, it's got the usual 20 millisecond low latency, 95 degree field of view, compared to like the minor 96 degrees on the Samsung VR. It's very like nothing. Also has the added benefit of an anti-blue light filter, which helps protect your eyes. So that's really nice. Also, what's really exciting about, though, is the content that's coming out with it. Huawei has announced that it will offer over 4,000 free movies, although there's a presumption that possibly only a fraction of them are really going to be, edited and made for VR. In addition to over 40 free games, along with over 350 panoramic images and 150 panoramic tours. I just got to say the marketing message for this is very like, hey, kids, get your mom and dad to buy a VR headset so they can go to France. Like, I don't know. That's sort of what it comes across to me. But I think it looks exactly like the Gear VR. So I'm going to be very curious to see what's
we're in this weird teenage phase, aren't we? Like, it's not just the VR thing, but like there are a lot of companies like Huawei coming from further east, and I feel like we're just in a weird, just one of those weird teenager phases for the industry where everyone is just saying me too. And it doesn't really matter what it, like, we haven't figured out what even it's about yet. But if one company sees the another one doing something cool, they're like, oh, we could do that too. But maybe you shouldn't. Maybe stop trying to go so wide and try and go tall. Like, pick a vertical.
Well, Huawei really wants to come into the U.S. market. And what is the big play right now? I don't know how it's selling because they're not really telling us. But they're trying to push this gear VR. They're trying to push virtual reality into the fold here. I mean, we have the Vive that just came out and the Oculus.
Yeah.
So this is just another way to say we're important. I know you haven't really heard of our brand name before, and it's kind of hard to pronounce. But... we're here. We are here with things that you might be interested in buying. And we're willing to give you a bunch of free stuff.
I mean, it's kind of funny because, like, VR, I mean, it's as we were doing the rundown for the show, you know, with Jason being out.
Yes.
It's like, has a week gone by where we haven't talked about VR?
I mean,
like,
should we get a VR bumper?
We might. I mean, if it becomes a real thing. I mean, VR, I feel like we're on the precipice of a land grab. And so so when I saw that this was happening,
that
you know.
That was a nice
sentence,
by the way.
What?
The precipice of a land grab.
Every now and then, my journalistic chops come to fruition.
Yeah.
So there you go. But I'm not surprised Huawei's doing this because, you know, I'm sure there's somebody in the boardroom saying, look what Samsung's doing. Like, why aren't we doing this? You know? And Huawei has such a audience in China.
They do. They are like the Samsung of China.
You think so?
Oh, they absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait. No. They don't make appliances, do they? Do they make appliances?
No.
No. I don't know. Okay. No. You're right. Oh, man. I just, no. Almost. Let's backpedal on that one as fast as we can.
Appliances? We're not talking about appliances. We are going to talk about what possibly Motorola will be launching. Motorola by Lenovo. There are some leaks of the next Moto phone, presumably called the Moto G4 and G4 Plus. Now, this would be the next generation of the mid-range Moto G, and presumably it may or may not have a fingerprint scanner embedded on the chassis.
Ooh.
It's very next generation.
Someone got the memo.
This evidence comes from Nowhere Else, a French site which has offered some solid leaks in the past. According to the report, Motorola is at work on a G4 and G4 Plus, with both devices sporting a 5.5-inch screen and the camera serving as the main differentiator. The difference between the two will be the camera.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So now, Mark, to fill you in, I don't know if you're a regular watcher of the program or not, but Flo I've been very concerned about Motorola.
Very concerned about Rick Osterlo. I reached out to him on Twitter yesterday. Hey, do you have an email address? I'm trying to talk to him.
And did he respond?
No, he has not responded.
There you go.
You need me, Rick. @OhThatFlo. Just tweet me, man. We can talk this out. I want to help you through this because I am just as bummed as you are. I'm bummed. I'm really bummed.
Me too. That
he left,
me too.
Okay.
I think I liked him as a person.
We
should get a good seance going for Motorola because the spirit of its life is just. I mean, it's long gone now, and I think that's no more evident than in the industrial design of this particular device. Yes, it's got the Motorola M on it, but it really, really departs from what they've been doing the last few years. And what they've been doing the last few years has been the best work they've done in the last, like, 10. So I'm with you, Flo. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm not excited to see what the Lenovo Rolla flagship is for the year. But, you know, can't win them all. Everything good must end.
Moving on from Motorola, some quick little accessory bits. USB-C is here. I love my USB-C cable on my Nextbit Robin. But as we found out that USB-C cables can be a bit damaging, as recent reports have come out. But luckily enough, the folks behind the USB Implementers Forum have announced a way to protect devices from bad cables. The USB Type-C authentication specification is a set of software rules that a device can enforce on anything you plug into it. This new protocol will allow host systems to confirm authenticity of a USB device or USB charger, including such product aspects as the descriptors, capabilities, and certification status. And basically what's interesting about this is that when a device gets certified by the USB IF, it will then be able to tell your phone or laptop that it's safe to use the 128-bit encrypted communication. It'll happen immediately before it's allowed to draw power or transfer data. And on top of that, you'll be able to set up your device with rules for what is and isn't allowed from USB devices, such as charging only or to accept data from USB drives marked as trusted by your IT department, etc. So basically, it's giving you control over what data and what power is flowing over your USB-C cable. Mark, what do you think of this? Do you think this is much needed or kind of overdoing it?
I don't think it's overdoing it. I think it's just a thing that happened. You know, I think it's a good thing to happen. USB-C handles a lot more than USB micro ever did, or micro USB, excuse me. And 3.0 handles enormous amounts of data. All of the fun things that you just mentioned seems like a natural extension of something we should be doing. So I'm whatever on it. It's a thing that happened for sure.
Yeah.
And you can put it in any way you want. You don't have to like look at it when you're putting it in.
I will say that I cannot tell you as great as quick charging has been, but that USB-C cable, if you don't, it's a lot easier to slide in, but if you don't get it the right side, it's not truly universal because you have to have it hard to explain, but if you do it like this, no, not on the phone side, on the plug side.
Yeah.
If you plug the wide, like the standard USB thing, if you put it in like this, it needs to go like that. It needs to be upside down. And I didn't notice, like a half an hour went by and I wasn't charging. I was like, I plugged it in wrong. So it takes some getting used to it, but I like it.
I have no idea what you're on about, Ron.
Yeah, I'm rambling. If I had a cable handy, I'd show you. But if you
is it just the Robin cable?
Yeah, the Robin cable.
Yeah, the Robin cable because it's that flat. Like
it's the flat.
It looks like a fruit roll-up. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
It's not that it's flat. It's the connector. It's the connector's only got the pins on one side, and depending on which power brick I'm plugging it into, it changes what side the pins need to go.
Got it. You're talking about the actual USB end.
Yes.
The full USB end, and it has the half of the plug cut off, like those really tiny flash drives, like the OnePlus cable does too.
Yep.
Got it. Yes, you're right about that. Yeah, that's annoying.
Oh, my God. I don't like those either.
Yeah. But I like the smaller end going into the phone. Doesn't matter now. It can just be any way. Yeah. That's great. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so finally, the last little bit of accessories is that if you are a Google Nexus owner of a Nexus 6, 6P, or 5X, and you've been dreaming of a customized case, Google has made that dream become a reality. From now on, they've got their live case creator application that allows you to upload a photo. And then you can apply filters, you can customize it, you can position it on the case, and then they will print it up and send it to you so you can have your own customized case to put your dumb cat on the back of your phone.
Or a map. You can also choose from a map. I made one, and mine's coming next week. I'm super excited. It's obviously of a BART map, and I can't wait to show you all. I'm so excited. Although apparently a lot of people have been having problems getting onto the site, and from what I've heard, I think you can only customize it via Google Chrome. Ah. Just as an FYI.
Yes.
But it's been crashing for a lot of people. Jeez. So yay, I got to order mine before it crashed.
Yay.
Yay.
All right.
It's fun. I mean, it's so cool though, isn't it? Like I ordered one. It's awesome.
I don't know what I'll do with my button.
What did you get on yours?
I got my old hood in Manhattan. Or in New York, right on the East River, because my entire life was just Williamsburg and then going over the Williamsburg Bridge to hang out in the Lower East Side. And I just have so many fond memories of that location. I made my little design. I made it all look cool.
And I did the same thing.
Yeah. There's a button on the back, too, that you can customize it with. So you can just have a camera shortcut or whatever you want on the button. I think it's brilliant. I think it's a great idea.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and this is exactly what I want to see more of from OEMs. Like, I just published the G5 review today, and it did not get terribly high praise from me, because...
You're not alone. Don't worry.
It's not special. It's just not special at all. Things like this, it wouldn't have taken too much, I think, for LG to try and take something, an approach closer to Motorola's, where you customize the device, you pick your modules, you don't even have to buy the device and then buy the module, you get... The device that
you have
you
to have modules first for that to happen, though, and they that's didn't also really true. Make too right, many.
Let's
for that.
Let's not get hung up on the LG G5.
Anyway,
we've gone over this.
Yeah, we do have a. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The customization part is cool. That's it. That's all I was saying. It's like more OEMs do stuff like this.
Yes, I agree.
Like the ICU case, any extras, like awesome. So
I agree.
Cool.
Yep. We've got a reader email, which is super exciting because
a listener email.
We've got a listener email. I'm sorry, guys. I still like live in, you know, the world. I'm always between like the internet and video, so I never know where I am. We've got a listener email from Mike Keeper. Surprised you have not talked about the latest Android version report from Google. Marshmallow adoption has doubled to about 4.6% in March. The three newest versions of Android, Marshmallow Lollipop and KitKat, are now in the majority of devices. Ice cream sandwich is still popular, but it seems that Android is gradually moving to less fragmentation. Be interested in hearing you all talk about it. Love the show. Thanks, Mike.
That's a great observation, Mike. We did not talk about this.
No, we did not.
Kara, can we get the... Yeah, there we go. That's the
graph.
That's what I want to see. Look at those numbers, those glorious
chart.
Numbers. Froyo hanging on for dear life at 0.1%. But I think the most interesting is the growth between KitKat through Marshmallow, is that now it is dominant. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the lollipop slice of the pie on its own is really compelling. You know, like
that's
that.
Good.
We were looking at this same pie chart this time last year. And lollipop was the size of marshmallow. So this bodes really, really well.
But you guys, what does that say when we're like, oh, good, they made some progress for like an OS that's 2 years ago?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the adoption rates on this, this lines up with phone sales and, you know, and also the wide audience. We're talking international. We're talking, you know, you look at the, this is data collecting. Data is gathered from the Google Play Store app, which supports Android 2.2 and above. So, like anybody checking into the Google Play Store is pinging this. So it's a wide. I mean, we saw in the security report that's 600 million devices. So I mean, I know we're impatient because I want Marshmallow to be the dominant one because it's the latest and greatest. But we have to realize that the majority of the people are still on Jelly Bean or KitKat.
I just want Apple to stop complaining about us now being on the same OS.
We don't have to say the A word as much.
You're right. I know.
It's okay. It's not a contest.
That's true.
All right. Let's take a break and thank another sponsor. And listen, let's be honest. Your mind is capable of weighing you down. I know my mind weighs me down all the time. It weighs you down with fear, anger, stress, and anxiety to the point where it may be difficult to sleep. Or you don't get through your busy day. You don't have to live this way. I'm telling you. It all starts with just 10 minutes of guided meditation a day, which is made possible with a great app called Headspace. Headspace is meditation made simple. You can listen to their guided meditations whenever and wherever you want to, right on your phone, computer, or tablet. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition with thousands of scientific studies that show its positive effects, like improving focus and relationship harmony and decreasing anxiety and stress. In fact, someone very close to me is just having a conversation about meditation and how it can be helpful and how it can be a good daily practice and helps her stay, you know, kind of centered and ties in with yoga and all that fun stuff. So Headspace is a great way to take a step into the world of guided meditation. You can check out the founder of Headspace, Andy Puttacum's TED Talk, which had 5.5 million views. Andy leads all the meditations in Headspace and really knows his stuff, having been a monk for 10 years. Celebrities like Emma Watson, Jared Leto, and Gwyneth Paltrow are all among the 5 million users finding peace through Headspace, and you could be one of them too. You can download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/allaboutandroid. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/allaboutandroid. That's headspace.com/allaboutandroid. And just take a moment. Take 10 minutes a day. That's all you need. And you could lift that weight off your shoulders and lift it just long enough to talk about apps.
Can I just offer a little bit of personal experience for this particular sponsor?
Please, Mark.
Because I love Headspace. Like, I've been using Headspace for over a year. They're awesome. Like, personally, I used it last night. Like, it's off. Headspace is great. Go check
great.
It out. It's
so off. There you go. Straight from a user, from an active user, Mark is leading a much more balanced and calm, less stressful life. You can be too.
I am.
Yep.
I am.
So
go to
headspace.com/allaboutandroid and let's dive into apps. All All right.
Well, this is exciting news. Now you can shoot a picture while you're taking a video with the new Google Camera app. And I'm saying that because I've been using this feature on my Samsung and LG devices for quite a while now, and it is awesome. It is awesome to be able to shoot a video and also capture a couple stills in the middle of it.
That seems like very intense multitasking. Because if you're shooting a video,
I mean, it is.
And then you're like, oh, I want to take a picture. Like, yeah, leaving that, look at that. That seems, talk about stress. I need headspace for this app. There are two buttons that you got to deal with, right? So you're shooting a video.
Well, so,
and then it's like, oh, I want to get a still. Oh, I want to get another still.
So the other way you could do it is that, so this is version 3.2. If y'all are wondering if you have the update or not and you want to check on your phones. Once you launch the video, you launch into the video mode, the shutter button. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, so the shutter button does slide in. I misread it as you can use the side button. I can't read today, apparently.
Which is ironic, considering your career.
Yeah, I don't know how I got into this career but I digress.
Okay, great. Still as well, shooting video.
I digress.
All right, let's move on. It was announced in October, and now finally Google rolled it out. Google Play Music now supports podcasts.
Finally, after they announced it in October. Come on, guys.
As a podcaster, this is great news. In fact, just this morning, I went in and registered iFanboy, my comic book podcast.
Yay.
Waiting for approval from the submission. They did not contact me prior to the launch. I don't know why. Maybe they'd lost my email. I don't know. We're a major podcast. I think that I would have expected we would have been in the launch, but... Anyway,
darn.
So, Mark, what do you use to listen to podcasts on your phone?
Pocket Casts now and forever. Pocket Casts for the rest of my life. Pocket Casts, Pocket Casts,
okay,
Pocket Casts.
Okay, why don't you just marry it if you love it so much?
Do you use Google Play Music for music?
I do. Okay. My wife and I have a family plan, Google Play Music for music. We bounce back and forth because I was actually an RDO diehard. And when RDO got shut down a couple months back, It was like you turn on a light, there's roaches just scattering. Like, I didn't know what to do. My entire music life just went out the window. So we played with Spotify, Google Play Music, settled on Google Play Music. But Pocket Cast is just too good, man. Pocket Cast syncs all your stuff. Yep. They don't pay me to say any of that. Pocket Cast is just too good.
Now, I'm a Pocket Cast user as well. I live a large portion of my life is built around my use of Pocket Cast on a daily basis. But... the opportunity to eliminate an app is I was thinking about this earlier today. I spent a good couple hours thinking about this. And one hand, you can have one app for music, all your audio listening. So I use Google Play Music. I could use it now for podcasts as well. But Pocket Cast is an app made specifically for podcasts, which we know are a unique type of audio listening.
So it means it will be the best at podcasting, still like, well, they asked for podcasts,
so here they are. Yeah.
And honestly, it's not like Google Play Music has seen a whole lot of attention, TLC, from Google anyway, so I'm not exactly holding out hope that podcast is going to be like the big driving force for them.
Well, I'm going to give it a test run. I'm going to see how it looks. I do love Pocket Cast. I don't want to leave Pocket Cast, but I'm just going to try it just for, kind of the taste test.
Yeah, give it a go.
Important to note that Twit was one of the launch partners within Google Play for podcasts. It was cool to see This Week in Tech up there as one of the ones advertised. It's exciting. I think it's good. Although announcing in October and then launching it in April, that was a long time. But
there was an intern developer. They were giving him time to learn stuff.
And an example of the respect podcasts get.
That's true. Moving on, sure. I'm actually very excited about this, and this new feature has cropped up for me, and I've actually been using it. Google Calendar now lets you set goals for yourself in the future and helps you so that you can meet those goals, which is pretty freaking awesome. The idea is that you would use it for, exercise or whatever, but I've been using it for exercise, I guess. That is part of what I've been using it for.
So how are you using it? Like, how is this fitting into your schedule, into your day-to-day when trying to meet this goal?
So it asks me, how many times... So I actually just set it up, yesterday, I should say. Okay. So I'm not...
So you haven't achieved any of your goals
yet. I haven't really achieved any of the goals yet. But the way that works is Calendar will now ask you, for instance, if you set up for it to help you with your goal of exercising more, it'll ask you how many times a week you would like to work out, for how long, and which time slot you prefer. And then it will look at your calendar your meetings, your lunch dates, blah, 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 whatever you've got going on, and it will help fit that goal into an open space.
Okay, I like where this is going. I like where this is going. Google Calendar has been doing little nifty things, little useful nifty things, both on mobile and then bringing them to the web, and I have a sneaking suspicion that Google Calendar will very soon not be Google Calendar. It'll be like Google Planner or Google product, some sort of a product.
Why are you saying this? Why, you're hinting at something. What are you hinting at, Mark?
I'm not hinting at anything.
What are you hinting? What do you know? What do you people know?
Oh my God, that's you're giving me way too much credit. These are the ramblings of a madman, Flo. This is just like, this is not quantifiable in any capacity, but it's what, you know, based on things Google has done, and that this is just entirely conjecture on my part. Sorry, journalism, but I think and hope that they do, because I've had a really good experience with getting all of my, you know, kind of digital productivity life set up with mostly Google stuff. I still use Inbox and I obviously still use Google Calendar, but mm-hmm. I would love for it to kind of catch up to the rest of the apps.
Yeah. Plus I'm like so embedded into the Google suite of things that I don't really, I haven't had too much success with other third party apps except for like the Under Armour Record. And that's just because I like the interface so much more and it syncs with so many different devices as far as fitness goes. But now I've started using my calendar for realsies. Like I was using a Moleskine for so long to like set goals for myself, and it just wasn't, like it wasn't working.
Maybe one Dang. Of those, maybe one of those goals could be stop saying realsies.
Oh no, I support Flo's saying
Thank
of the
you,
word
Mark.
Realsies. I said it on stage in 2011 at launch when I was talking about my startup at the time. I said for realsies to Kara Swisher on stage, and I got holy hell for it.
Oh my gosh.
It was worth it.
Oh gosh. All right.
We've got another email. I'm sorry,
do.
Ron.
No, sorry. We got another email.
I just took that transition away from you.
There you go.
I just feel bad. You're always transitioning from me.
I'm a big segwayer.
You are. You're really good at that. Yeah. Does the AA crew, this comes from James Ice Pick Eric?
Eric?
I'm sorry, Eric, I think is how you... I'm sorry, James, that I butchered your last name. Does the AAA crew have an opinion on what the current best app for sending and receiving SMS messages from the desktop is? Google Voice cannot be the answer, smiley face. No, it's not. You'll definitely want to check out Pushbullet.
Pushbullet!
Which will work up to a certain limit for free, and then you need to pay $5 a month, but if you want to use that, it's fine. The one that I like to use is Mighty Text. It is bomb diggity.
So you use Mighty Text. I use Pushbullet. Mark, do you yes. use either of those?
I use neither because I'm still one of those suckers using Google Voice as his primary number and use Google Voice for about everything, especially considering how many devices I have on me at any given moment.
Wow. That's bold. Yeah. Considering how bad Google Voice is.
That's bold.
It's so bad, dude. It's so bad. I don't know why I do it.
That's rough. You know, I love Pushbullet. I think Pushbullet is good. Pushbullet has changed the way I interact with text messages by being able to send them from the desktop. I have no problem paying the monthly. Like, they do good work. I want to support them. So
I just signed up for another subscription service. I can't keep.
Which one?
I'm actually going to try out SoundCloud Go.
All right. Oh, you're putting your money where your mouth is. There it is.
Yeah,
good for you.
So.
All right. So
not that you should always support your developers if you feel that you really
agree.
Always support your developers.
Yeah. All right. We're going to thank one more sponsor before we move into the arena. We want to thank Automatic for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And, you know, there's a good chance that your car hasn't fully kept up with technology. And that's where Automatic comes in. It's a little adapter that turns any car into a connected car. You just plug Automatic into the same port that your mechanic uses to diagnose engine problems, and it opens up a world of possibilities. Automatic lets you keep track of your fuel mileage and vehicle health, expense business trips with a tap, and link your car to the connected devices that power your life. What's that pesky check engine light really mean? Automatic tells you before you go to the shop. Automatic can also integrate with your Nest thermostat to know when you're home, and it can even provide the answer to one of life's most common questions, where did I park my car? Now, I don't own a car. But I've been having this itch to get one again, and because I want to use things like Automatic, I want to have access to this kind of data. I want to do cool things like you can integrate it with like they mentioned to Nest. If you have the Philips Hue lighting system, you can integrate it there. So as you're driving up, the lights come on in your house. You can use IFTT,
IFTTT, if this, then that, and build recipes that tie into Automattic that will trigger actions from other applications. It's a ton of power and a little connector that goes in your car and turns your car into a connected device, which is amazing. It works on nearly every car made after 1996. It takes minutes to install and connects to your Android device over Bluetooth or your iPhone if you have one of those. You can get real-time performance data, audio alert signal when to ease off the gas and brake pedals and help you avoid high speeds. Their commute analyzer determines when you should leave for your destination and how you can save money by making your commute more efficient. Their dashboard web app provides granular information and lets you export your trips. And as I mentioned, their app platform integrates not only with Nest and with IFTTT, but Amazon Echo, Your Mechanic, FreshBooks, a ton of other great integrations. And if you've got a teenager at home who's just starting to drive, you can keep track of their driving stats with Automattic. And they've even got a 24/7 crash response feature so you can feel secure knowing Automattic is keeping your loved ones safe on the road at all times. And if you do a lot of driving for work, you can easily file your business expenses with popular apps like Concur and Expensify. So here's the deal. Automattic is normally $99.95, but when you use our special offer code just for you, lucky listener, you'll save 20%. That offer code is TWIT. So what you want to do is you want to go to automattic.com/TWIT for more information and to purchase. And don't forget to use that offer code TWIT, TWIT, to save 20% off the regular purchase price. Knocks it down to $79.95 or $79.96. That's a ton of power for a low price. That's automattic.com/TWIT. And we thank them for their support. And hopefully one day I get to use this product because I want a new car.
I'm sorry to do this again, but I've been using Automattic for 2 years and I've watched their app get better and better. Like just it just gets better and better. I've been using them for years. They're awesome. Awesome.
I mean, I'm addicted to connected devices and I love, you know, I mean, I know it gets a lot of flack, but Internet of Things and all that sort of stuff and being able to get that sort of data and then be able to build recipes with IFTTT or use other integrations like Nest and Amazon Echo is just so cool. I mean, it turns your car into a fun little toy that you can that is not just for driving. So
totally, and it actually made me a better driver too because it beeps at you if you accelerate too fast or brake too hard.
And how often did it do that, Mark? Let me guess. A lot.
Well, it lets you know, it, like you hear it happen, and then at the end of your drive, it's like, hey, that was like bad. You really need to save.
Excellent. Well, we thank Automattic for making a great product and for their support. That said, it's time to go into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, my friends. I was not here last week, so I did not get to participate in the arena. We are going to find out, though, as the link is loading on my computer. And here we are, episode 261, featured three apps, Velociraptor Map Speed Limit, Pokemon TCG Online, and Quote. Oh. And it looks as if our winner was Velociraptor with 52%. Somehow, Pokemon came in second with 29%.
What do you mean somehow? It's the card game.
And Quote got 19%. So that is going to give another win to Jason. For Velociraptor, Jason's on a streak here. He's doing very, very well. So we're lucky that he's not here this week. So, So there we go. All right. So that said, since Jason is not here, and since Mark is our guest, Flo, you're gonna go first.
Oh my! Well, today, y'all, I've got a beta app. Actually, it is made by a developer that I actually met at DroidCon a couple of weeks ago here in San Francisco. It is called Eraser Map. It's basically a very simple map. That's all it is for you guys. And you might be wondering, Flo, why would I want such a simple map? Well, let me tell you why. Because Google Maps sometimes takes such a long time to load. It can be pretty, I mean, yes, it offers a lot of data and things that you need in Google Maps, but sometimes it can be a little infuriating. It's kind of nice to see things in this more like simplified manner. And the nice thing about this is that when you're at a location, it'll show you like little markers for every little thing a little more clearly than Google Maps does. So for instance, I have here my location. This is around the building where I work. It shows you the stores that are around. So here's like place where I get my salads every day, you know, is some place called, oh, that's the place that replaced the bar that we used to love, which is very unfortunate. It was tragic. But yes, it helps show you the, like, where everything is. You know, I found this to be exceptionally helpful when I'm walking because I can actually kind of, like, peep at the map and see what the businesses are on the street so I know, like, if I'm walking in the right direction. And it doesn't take as long to load as Google Maps, so it's very nice. There are a couple of settings. You can set your distance units. You have search history. But beyond that, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward app. This is us. When you zoom in, see, here's the Twit Brick House.
All right. Cool.
The social club next door, which has been, like, under construction for Lord knows how long. So there you have it. A very simple map. And, of course, it does do navigation if you need it. Driving, biking, walking, whatever you need, shows you a little list. Just a nice, like, simple thing. I like, again, I like using this because sometimes my phone gets really hot when I'm navigating in my car, and it can be, it kind of slows things down. Google Maps uses a lot of resources, so it's nice to have that sort of option to...
I have been noticing that Google Maps is feeling bloated. It's feeling heavy.
It is.
Right?
Yes, it has a lot of features, and it's great. Yeah. I love them. And actually, I use it as, like, I have a little holster. I use it as my navigation. But when I'm walking, I like to have something a little more simple. So it's in beta, so you will have to sign up for the beta to download it. But check it out. It's by, you know, an indie dev. So
we have the link to the beta sign up. So, yeah, you can go to mapzen.com/blog/erasermap-beta. Or just search Erase a Map, and there's the instructions on how to join it. Interesting. Risky putting a beta app in.
I know.
Yeah, but if it's that good, it's probably worth it then, huh?
We'll see.
All right, cool. So, Mark, I forgot to install your app, so I'm going to do that now while you tell us about it.
We can just switch to me like last time if you want, if that's easier.
Okay.
I can just do this if that's if
oh
that
look
works.
At that
every time you do that I feel like I'm on in virtual reality like
don't wee, mind how filthy my desk is.
All right, cool.
There we go. So this is Okay. It's a game called Okay with a question mark. It's really simple. Let's go to an earlier level so that we can just show. All you need to do is clear this white spot here. Sorry about the shaky cam. Right? That's it. That's literally all the game is, and then you advance the level. They get harder and harder. You just have to bounce them off. They disappear. Super simple. Sound design's great. Free, ad-supported, and it teaches you right here. So let's jump over to level 15. So here, all you got to do is strum all the strings. This is one of the more complex mechanics that you run into. So these all need to be hit. We got to bounce this guy off of here somehow to time it to hit that.
This is like geometry.
Is
it like physics?
Or whatever, physics.
if you're bad at angles, you're not going to have a good time here. But we have to get it. Nope, it's not going to get it in the door. So it's difficult. If you're into difficulty, then you're probably going to be fine. But if you're not a terribly patient person, then maybe not. Oh, maybe if I just start up here. Boom. Either way, it's fun.
You did it.
Almost. Yeah, it's fun. It's easy. It's free. Super easy to learn. Support the developer. Pay for the ad. It's like $1, I think. It's a really good, simple game. And I think that's just going to be my thing. Whenever I come on, you can count on me having a game for somebody. And this
you, do,
just like,
you do have an fun. Interesting selection of games that you bring. And I noticed they're very cerebral.
Indie? Ah, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's my jam. I like, I don't know, my brain... buzzes. It's why I need Headspace more often than not, actually.
So the combination of Okay and Headspace is a winner there. There you
yeah,
go.
It works out really well for me.
Yep. Cool. All right. So Okay is in the Google Play Store. It's free, right? Are there in-app purchases?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in-app purchases. You can disable ads, but it's totally worth it. It's super. It's very accessible. It's one guy, and it's beautifully designed.
I have to admit, I peeped at your app this morning, and I looked at the description where it had, like, the nails, and I thought you were doing, like, a nail design app or something.
You know,
glance.
That makes perfect sense, because my wife and I just went and got mani-pedis before I got on the show today, so.
Of course you did. Oh, Mark. I love that.
Mark, I wish my SO would come and get mani-pedis with me.
Mark, you are truly an American original.
I sure am.
Thank you.
I sure am. Anytime.
All right, so, Okay. Question mark. Okay. Is it okay? I don't know how you pronounce it. It was like, okay. Is it okay? Okay.
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 Yeah, anyway. Okay.
All right, so that leaves me and my app, my triumphant return to the arena, is an app called Droid ID. And this is very specific, but it's very cool. If you have a phone that has a fingerprint sensor, like I do now with the Nextbit Robin, and you use a Mac running OS X, Droid ID allows you to unlock your computer with your fingerprint on your phone. How is that? So we got a little double duty action going on here in that we've got, you need to download a helper app. You need to download the app on your computer. And what happens is that when you launch Droid ID, it says hi. And then it gives you a code and you go to your computer and you type in the code, which I'm going to do with my left hand, which I don't normally use. LHCFJ3. And then you type your Mac password, which I'm going to do off screen.
Sort of off screen.
Hang on a second. Sort of off screen. And once you do that, then what happens is that, here we go, we can go back. It says, all right, Droid ID is all set. To unlock your Mac, just press the unlock notification on your Android phone and scan your fingerprint, and your Mac will be unlocked. And this can be for waking up your computer from the screensaver, from putting it to sleep, to booting it up. Very simple. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put my phone to sleep. Okay, I'll put my computer to sleep. All right. And now in the app, I'm going to go back to the thing. When I tap the app, it gives me the scan button. It's waiting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up my computer. And there it is, right? And I'm going to scan my fingerprint. And then live demo. Is it going to work? Oh, is it going to work? Why isn't it working?
Well, this is an interesting predicament that we're in here.
I didn't close the window on the helper app. That's why. And now I'm not logging in. Oh, my caps lock is on. That's why. Okay. So there we go. All right. 1 second. Okay. So now, if you're on your laptop, if you notice, it's hard to see. I don't know if you can zoom in, Kara, but there's a little fingerprint icon that needs to be running in your bar.
Bah,
so
it now, works. Bah.
So now I'm going to hit sleep. All right. So now the computer is asleep, mind you. All right, we're going to do this again. Live demos. Sometimes they go right, sometimes they go wrong. I'm going to hit Droid ID, and I'm going to scan. Oh, it's because I typed it in with the caps lock on. Hang on, let me reset it. All right, we're going to do this again. It's really cool when it works. Hang on.
I'm deriding way too much.
All right, here we go. Here we go again. All right. I'm typing in. All right, here we go. Caps lock is off. I'm putting in my password. Okay, it's closed. It's running. Okay, we are good. All right, I'm going to put the laptop to sleep. All right, take three, folks. Take three.
Oh.
Put it to sleep.
Did it just do it so fast?
It did it so fast that I missed it. So, all right, you ready? So, I go to turn it on. And I'm in.
Nice.
There you go. So if you have a fingerprint scanner on your phone, you can use it to unlock your Mac. Very, very cool. Additionally, it allows you to, in the settings, you can choose to have a persistent notification so that in the notification pane, there's an unlock your Mac icon so you don't have to even launch the app. And there it is. It's real simple. As of right now, it is OS X only, although I imagine they're working on Windows access. And then... what I would like to see from it is that they allow multiple device support, so multiple computer support, because I have a laptop and a desktop. But that said, it's pretty cool to see it happen so quickly. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the same Wi-Fi network or on cellular or whatever. It works. It just totally works. So Droid ID, it is free. Again, you need a phone with a fingerprint scanner running Marshmallow or higher or Lollipop or higher, I think.
I have a question about it.
Yes.
Is it actually doing anything? Like, is it just for convenience, or does it actually create a new system password that only the app knows somehow? Or is it just using your fingerprint to just basically be a macro to type your password for you?
Basically, it's using your fingerprint to be a macro to type the password. Basically, what's happening is that the fingerprint is unlocking it. You're storing the password in your keychain on your Mac, which is already stored there. And then the fingerprint unlocks that macro to prompt it at the right time. So
got it. Cool. Yep. Got it. Cool.
So there it is. So Droid ID, it's pretty darn cool if you ask me. I apologize for the demo, but it's hard to coordinate with the cameras and the computer and all that fun stuff. So, all right, so now is your chance to vote from these three wonderful apps. You can go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/AAAshow262, where I remember to do the poll in the middle of the show, and luckily it's up there now. So, and then you can also, you can go to the All About Android community page where it's pinned to the top. I did it from the All About Android community account this time, people. It's not my personal account, so get off my back. I did it. I think I did it right. So, yeah, so please vote. You can be heard by voting in the arena poll. And are you still only down to one win now, Flo? Do you only have one?
I should mention right now that my app lets you go around the world completely.
Except that it's a beta.
Completely
app.
Anonymous. Completely anonymous. Yeah. They do not use Google Play location services. Just letting y'all know. Cool. Trying to make my last ditch effort here to sell my app.
Good. I like
please vote for me.
I like the effort. Okay.
Mine's the only one that's a game. So vote for me because I appreciate your fun time.
And it's open source. Yep. You people like that, right? It's Android. Open source.
You people, Flo.
You people.
You
wow.
People.
Wow, Flo. You people like that. All right, then. Well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 262. Mark, you mentioned you're at Android Police now. Tell the folks what else you're up to and where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm at Android Police now. I make videos for Android Police. A lot of them take place right here. We're spinning up our video presence, basically. So
where is that pool, by the way, that you use in your video? Like, I think it was your Galaxy video. You were like walking around a pool, like hanging out.
That's our pool, like our pool. Like, we live in Irvine, California. Everything here is like, you have to have a pool if you're going to live in Orange County.
I mean, you do. You live in Orange County. You have to have a pool. It's like,
it's true. It's true. But that's like the pool for our, you know, like living.
Oh, nice.
Living
I was like, area. Man, that's nice. I want to go take a dip in the pool.
I know, right? It was actually pretty fun. But yeah, I'm at Android Police. Our YouTube channel is like lit up now. We're like doing stuff and building out a team. We're doing all kinds of fun stuff. So Android Police, to see more video of me pertaining to Android stuff, twitch.tv/theburstmode to see me drinking and playing video games and probably saying things I shouldn't say. And my own personal YouTube channel for, you know, just about everything else. Overwatch stuff, video game stuff, you know.
General entertainment.
General entertainment.
Right on.
General entertainment.
You are certainly an entertaining guy, Mark.
Oh, thanks, Flo. You too.
I'm an entertaining guy. Thanks, Mark.
Awesome. I mean, whatever, man. You do you.
Well, Flo, how do you entertain the people?
I don't entertain. I actually write at PCWorld.com the news and things that you need to know about the Android world. I am a serious journalist at PCWorld.com and Greenbot.com. And also follow me on Twitter and on Snapchat. And sometimes I'll Snapchat things I'm doing.
All right. Sometimes.
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 I haven't been lately. I've just been
I'm
so going
to be more so with this optical image stabilization on this hardware that we didn't talk about in the hardware section, but now the show's over, so tune in next week.
I know
Bye.
We didn't. That's a
that's
nice tease, though.
That's completely my fault.
That's a nice tease, though.
I did not bring the phone today, so that's all my fault.
Mark, why don't you show the people what you got there? That's the HTC 10, right?
Yes, this is the 10. David's review already went up. I am using it full-time as of today.
Really? Full-time? 100%?
I try, when I'm reviewing devices, I don't like to carry a second phone with me because I feel like that is
But I mean, your SIM is in it, yes?
Yes, my SIM is inside this phone. I actually had a nightmarish experience earlier because there's actually two SIM drawers on this one, or two drawers. There's a micro SD and a SIM instead of having all in one, which I've gotten used to now. So I panicked because I thought my SIM got stuck. I took out a drawer and I did not realize it was the SD card drawer. So I start poking around in the slot with the SIM ejector tool. I hope I didn't break anything, but it feels nice.
Did you get that HTC uh-oh protection?
Does it come for free for reviewers? Because then maybe.
Well, we're going to go deeper on the HTC 10 next week when Flo remembers to bring it.
Yes.
Good call.
So, sorry, y'all.
Anyway. Well, thank you, Mark, for that little sneak peek.
Where can we find you, Ron?
Well, I want to thank Cara over there behind the buttons for filling in for Brian this week. We appreciate it. You did a good job.
Look at me transitioning wrong. Yeah. And I'm in the dark. Oh, crap. I forgot about that. Hey, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Cara.
You're welcome.
Slay the game.
Sorry. for the bumpers and everything that was.
Hey, we're a bumpy show, so yeah. I know it takes a lot to
it's
keep up with us.
It's a late night show, you know? Yeah. Like, things happen here. Yeah.
You know, Brian just like sits here and plays games on his phone and stuff. So I don't know how
I know
I
he
messed up.
It.
I know he thinks I don't notice, but I do every time
he
I do.
Yeah, he does.
I see Snapchat. He's like, I'm at work.
Is that why Kara's there? Did Brian just get fired for playing games on the
couch?
No.
Brian's in Vegas with Jason, I believe. Right.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, they reward him, I guess, for playing games. They're like, send him to Vegas.
There's a lesson in career development. So. Anyway, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great job. And finally, you can find me. You can go to about.me/RonXO. You can find links to all my social media stuff. Check out ifanboy.com, which is my comic book website, where we have a weekly podcast talking about the latest in comics, as well as comics media. We are going to be doing a review of Daredevil, the Netflix series, a couple weeks later, but it took a while to watch all 10 episodes. Mm. And we reviewed Batman v Superman, that god-awful mess. And you can look forward to Captain America Civil War. I've seen the movie. I'm not allowed to talk about it until the podcast comes out. But yeah, so anyway. And you can check all that fun stuff out as well. And check out Google Plus at Google. I'm on Google Plus. Find me there. But with new photos for my next bit, Robin. So,
hashtag next cam.
Yeah, so there you go. Additionally, listen, you should sign up for the Twit newsletter. Go to twit.tv/newsletter where you can get behind the scenes stuff and a look at what's coming up every week. And don't worry, Twit's not going to sell your data. We respect you. It's just so we can tell you what's coming up next on the network. So make sure you go to twit.tv/newsletter.
It's a nice newsletter.
Yeah, it is. I get it. I look forward to it every week.
I agree.
Every weekly.
I'm always hoping I'll be featured in there. That's slightly narcissistic. Sorry.
Slightly narcissistic.
Sorry, I shouldn't have admitted that out loud.
Yeah.
Whoops.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. If you want to participate, you can call us on our voicemail line at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can email us or send us a video mail. I love the video mail and no one does it. Please do that. You can email us at AAA@twit.tv. That's AAA@twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show. We're on Reddit at twitaa.reddit.com. And as always, you can find the show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And of course, you can find all of our previous episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5 o'clock, or like 5:30 Pacific time. And that's at twit.tv/live. It was a fun time. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, as always.
And we'll see you next time. Cheers.